Well, hello and welcome, everybody. This is your host, Ken D. Foster. Today, we're talking about creating wealth with purpose. Today, we're going to talk about what you probably want to talk about, right? Wouldn't you like to have more abundance, maybe happiness, joy in your life? I'm hoping you're saying yes. You know, real wealth is not accidental. It's designed, built, and sustained through clear thinking, aligned actions, and informed choices. Wealth begins long before the bank account starts. You know, it really does. It starts with planning. It starts with you letting go of some false ideas about how you build wealth. It really is an interesting journey because as you accumulate wealth, you let go of disempowering thinking around who you are, what's possible for you, and what your life's going to be about. As you really design wealth and you step into it, you actually start creating your life's legacy. If you're in a place that you have dreams and visions for your life and they haven't been manifest, well, you know, those dreams and visions weren't given to me. They're your dreams and visions. And they can come true if you're willing to adjust your thinking, remember who you are, the core, the essence of who you are, and be able to take consistent, sustained actions. Now, that's all part of the formula. But there's another part of the formula that we don't talk about a lot. And that is the changing of the brain, the education part of building wealth. Because if you're not getting the right information in the right sequence at the right time, then, you know, a lot of people get, there's so much information out there, right? You know, just, yeah, you know, in fact, the world doesn't need any more information. You can just Google it or AI it, right? But the world needs is wisdom, which is why when I bring a guest on this show, I bring guests that aren't just talking about, let's say in this case, creating wealth. They've manifested wealth and they know the principles of building wealth for you. And part of that is what I told you earlier about letting go of some of the way you think and act and behave. But the other part is reigniting and realigning your mind with true wealth principles. That's what the show is all about today. And, you know, I want you to know this, you know, creating wealth isn't about shortcuts, right? But it is about having the right wisdom at the right time and, you know, having people like myself in your life, having coaches and mentors, business strategists, people that really know how to develop real wealth. And so if that interests you, you're at the right place. And I hope you'll not only listen to this program once, but, you know, with wisdom, it's not about obtaining more information. It's about realization. So if you listen to it once, that's great. If you're driving in your car, great. But then go home, pass it on to a family friend or somebody you care about and listen to it again with them. All right. I'm going to take a break. And when we come back, I'm going to have my very special guest, Wealth Master herself, Sharon Lecter. We'll be right back.
Do you suffer in pain? Are you stiff, tense, or less active than before? Introducing the EasyWell Remedy Massage System that combines the incredible effects of vibrational therapy, targeted deep tissue shiatsu massage, plus soothing infrared heat. A triple fusion of therapeutic experiences. Full body vibrational therapy increases blood circulation and reduces inflammation. Look at these beads moving from the powerful vibrational motors.
It's like 1,000 little fingers just vibrating my body from head to toe.
Infrared heat penetrates deep to reduce pain, soothe, and relax.
Remedy gets in there and helps deal with the source of the pain, so you feel much better.
The Ultra Shiatsu pillow with 6 infrared heated nodes mimics a professional massage. Plus, it's detachable for deep relief anywhere you need it.
It's just something that you're gonna have to feel for yourself.
Experience the true remedy for your pain and stiffness. Call now.
Have you ever felt leg pain, restlessness, cramps, tingling, swelling, numbness, itchiness, or coldness? Then you need the new, clinically proven Legsercise Pro, the natural circulation booster that uses continuous automatic leg movement to soothe pain and promote healthy circulation the natural, drug-free way.
After using Legsercise for a week, I felt like I wanted to go for a walk again without pain like I used to.
Legsercise Pro's patented walking simulator propulsion technology moves your feet back and forth along its concave track, creating constant movement and flex at both the knee and ankle joints. It's like having a physical therapist right in your own home.
It's helped with the swelling and the pain. The tingling feeling is gone.
Call right now and order your very own Legsercise Pro, the clinically proven automatic leg mover that soothes pain and naturally promotes healthy circulation. Call now.
Well, welcome back, everybody. Today we have Sharon Lecter with us. Sharon, it's so good to have you back on this show.
Always a delight to be with you, Ken. Thank you so much.
You know, you and I have done quite a bit over the years, so it's such a blessing, you know. And when I come across a mentor, you've been one of my mentors, that has realized wisdom. You know, I like to hold on, you know. You know, I'm holding on to you, girl. For those of you that don't know Sharon Lecter, she's an entrepreneur, author, philanthropist, and an international speaker. She's a chartered global management accountant, and most importantly, a mother and grandmother. She enjoyed a 35-year career as a licensed CPA and is a lifelong education advocate. And she's also the founder and the CEO of Pay Your Family First, a financial educational organization. Regarded as a global expert on financial literacy, Sharon has served as the national spokesperson and presidential advisor on the topic. In 2016, Sharon was appointed by Junior Achievement as a JA University of Success founding chancellor. Wow. And in 2017, as the Arizona chairman for the 2020 Women on Boards Initiative. Those are pretty cool awards, Sharon. And very cool. You know, I can go on, but, you know, bottom line is you've created a lot of wealth for a lot of people in over many, many years. You know, at one point you were associated with the Rich Dad companies and, you know, co-created that whole company and those books with Robert Kiyosaki. A lot. So welcome. Anything
so
else
much.
You want to add to that?
I've just been around a long time, Ken. So and my mission has never changed. My mission is to elevate the financial well-being and to provide affordable tools and education for people to take control of their financial lives.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing I love about you, though, you don't just talk it, you walk it. You know, you are a mentor and you're supporting one of the people that you've mentored. With his launch, his new book, we're going to be talking about that in a minute. But before I get there, what was inspired you to start really going down the path of teaching financial literacy and educational reform?
Well, I, as you mentioned, I was CPA for a long time, but I was actually raised by parents who talked about money at the dinner table. I learned about cash flow. I learned about assets, liabilities. My parents were both entrepreneurs. My mom had a beauty shop. My dad had a used car lot. They owned rental properties. They had orange groves. He talked about the orange groves. The oranges gave them cash flow and the land would appreciate. And some of those orange groves are now under SeaWorld in Central Florida. So it was just a part of the conversation. And that when I got out into the real world as a CPA, I realized how few people understood money. We're taught in school to chase paychecks, to exchange time for money. And so it was something that as a CPA, I learned the insides of companies. I saw how they succeeded, but probably more important, I learned how they failed. And then I left public accounting to go with a company that was one of the investors in the company. And it was like my first step into entrepreneurship. And it was a colossal failure. But had I not made that decision, I wouldn't have met my husband. And we were celebrating 46 years together. So I always teach out of entrepreneurship, out of every failure comes the seed of an equal or greater benefit, as Napoleon Hill said. So that journey started me on an entrepreneurial endeavor of solving problems and serving needs. Never losing sight of the fact that I had a gift and of understanding money that other people didn't. And it was when my oldest son went off to college in 1992, and he left in September, came home in December in credit card debt. I was so mad at him, but I was more mad at myself because I had taught him about money. But he got to campus. We didn't even know he had a credit card. He got to campus and there were tables, free money, free t-shirt, free money, free pizza, free money. And so he had a really good time his first semester in college. But that was December of 1992. And that's when I dedicated the rest of my career to financial education, and financial literacy.
Oh, I love that. Well, you know, when you were coming up, when I was coming up, there were very few books out there, very few courses on financial literacy. There just wasn't. It wasn't taught in the schools. I didn't learn it. You know, it wasn't taught in college. I guess if you took a business major, you got some of it. But none of them taught about our mindset, you know, how to change your mind and start, you know, focus on things. Entrepreneurial failure, you know, it's interesting. I think a lot of people even today think, well, if they're going to be an entrepreneur, they might, you know, they might fail their first business. Well, that you might, but you don't have to. I mean, you could like hire Sharon, you could hire Ken, you know, we might be able to help you along those lines. Right. So you don't go the path of trial and error. Right. I think a lot of people do that.
Oh, it's so important. A lot of people become very good in their career. Yeah. And they're around their peers all the time. And then they decide they're going to start their own thing. And all of a sudden, everybody's looking to them for all the answers. Entrepreneurship can be very, very lonely. Yeah. You know, it truly is. And that's why it's so important, that power of association, having the right mentor and the right advisors that you can pick up and call, help you, you know, accelerate it. I think it's 87% of business owners, small and medium enterprises, agree entrepreneurship is important. Only 27% of them have a mentor. That's the problem. Yeah. And so it's like it, and in today's environment where speed is so important from a standpoint of having a new company, getting out there and making an impact, let a mentor accelerate your progress because they steer you around pitfalls. They open doors of opportunity for you, make introductions. It's crazy not to have a mentor if you're truly starting a business and you're hoping to succeed.
Well, it's not taught in schools. You know, schools right now are not, you know, it's an antiquated system. You know, and we, you know, as you know, we need to reform that. I mean, schools don't teach us how to use our mind. There's no class on how to use your mind. There's no class on, well, let's talk about, you know, the infinite potential that's within you and how that is and who are you as a soul. That's not taught. Financial literacy, you know, might be taught in some of the higher levels now, but still at the younger ages, that's not being taught. It's like we're reading, writing, and arithmetic. Like, really? That's fine. Okay, don't get me wrong, but we need to expand for what the population's going through now. They're not teaching us about how AI, you know, how to use AI in schools yet, you know, and it's like, it's interesting.
It's so true. It's actually criminal that we're not teaching our kids about money in school.
Yeah.
This has been a lifelong endeavor on my part. My hair used to be red. If you ever worked with school systems, you'll know why my hair is now white. It's very difficult. We have, you know, 7 or 8 years ago, we still only had like 6 states in the nation that required personal finance for high school graduation. We're now up to 30. Unfortunately, only 10 of them have been implemented, but I will not rest until all 50 states require a personal semester of personal finance class for high school graduation. Okay. And now, you know, some of the objections where we don't have teachers that can teach it. Well, now with the, you know, with internet training, that's just not an excuse.
Well, it's not an excuse.
Yeah. It's really important because we hear the statement, the haves and the have-nots, right? The rich people get richer, the poor get poorer. Well, that's because they learn about money at home. If we truly want to level the playing field and want every child to have equal opportunity for success, we will teach them about money, about entrepreneurship, and when they're in school, so that they have an opportunity to create their own future. Because the wealth is a choice. You know, you don't wait for it to come to you. You go out and seek it, and you create wealth in your life, not just through money, but through associations, connections, impact. And that's what I teach.
Well, you know, you said something really important. I want to emphasize it in that wealthy people teach their children about wealth. They teach them about money. And so, you know, if you're listening to this and you're thinking, well, I'm not wealthy. Well, that's okay. Teach what you need to learn. Teach your children what you need to learn.
Learn along with them, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, let me shift gears here. You know, as the chairman of the K2 committee here in Arizona on Financial Literacy Task Force, what changes do you believe are most urgent in the schools today? And actually, I just noticed my time. I got to take a quick break. We'll answer that right after we get back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job. She was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy. But every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movement and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio. Or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back, everybody. Again, we're talking with Sharon Lecter. We're talking about financial literacy, your financial literacy, and what we can do to make changes, not only in our own personal lives, but also in our school systems. Sharon, go ahead and answer that question.
Absolutely. I think, you know, you made the comment, critical thinking. That's what's missing in our educational system. You know, the root word of education is educati, which means pull out. Our kids are brilliant, but what we do is we try and drill things into their brain. And what happens is they stop thinking because they're not encouraged to. And it's very important for our kids to learn critical thinking skills so that they can make decisions for themselves. They can make the choices that will help drive them forward. And of course, my number one desire is to get personal finance education into the school system so people understand the power of money. Because without a doubt, there's you are either in control of your money or your money is in control of you. There's not much in between. And so it's very important for us to learn about money before we get ourselves into tremendous debt. So many young people are coming out of school with huge debt, and it's like a mortgage on your life. not a house. You had a mortgage on your life. You got to dig out from that. And it's so important for kids to learn how to make money work for them. And that is, again, not chasing income, but chasing buying, building, and creating income producing assets. Those assets will feed you.
You know, I think you made a good point. You know, it's a big challenge for our young people, those that bought into the college system where they're going to be paying tuition back for decades. If you're one of those people and you're listening to it, or you're a parent of one of those people that have taken on the college and tuition debt, what are your strategies for them, Sharon? What do you say to them?
Well, absolutely. I think, you know, open your mind to other possibilities. Successful businesses solve problems and serve needs. Mm-hmm. And yes, if you have a job right now and you need to keep that, that's fine. That doesn't mean you can't start something on the side mm-hmm. that is an entrepreneurial endeavor that can grow and grow to the point where maybe that income will replace your salary. And so you can decide to run the business and continue to grow it and scale it. But you know, when you look at the cash flow quadrant, which was the second book in the Rich Dad series, it's a quadrant that on the left side has E and S. That's for employee and self-employed. And that is what school teaches us. And the problem with employee and self-employed is that time is money. You make money with your time. And there's only so many hours in the day, so many days in the week. The right side of the cash flow quadrant is B and I, business owner and investor. That's where you have people and systems working for you. And as an investor, your money is working for you. That's the right side. And how do you create wealth on the right side? It's assets. You build a business that operates, a big business that operates without you, or you invest your money investments in other businesses, in real estate, in paper assets, stocks, bonds, mutual funds, commodities, digital currencies, and those assets grow and pay you dividends. So you have the opportunity to build wealth while your money is working for you. And that's the difference between employee, self-employed, because on the right side, as a business owner and investor, you get your time back. As those assets grow and succeed, you get your time back. And when we talk about true wealth, the true wealth is really your quality of life. A lot of people become wealthy monetarily, but they lose their relationships along the way. They lose their help along the way because they were focused on building financial wealth. True wealth is financial wealth, relationship wealth, wealth in your health. And that's what people should be striving for.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, it's a balanced life. And can you have it all? You can't have it all. I mean, that's, you know, the truth is you can. And people that, it's interesting because I've worked with a lot of people over the years that have focused only on their business, not on anything else, not on their relationships and their family and their health. And what happens is most of the time they spend the first half building wealth, the second half paying doctor bills and trying to make amends to people that they messed up with. So that's probably not the way to go. You know, if you're that person that's sitting there with debt, right? You know, one thing I love about you, Sharon, is that you give solutions, you give hope, you give inspiration. There's no challenge. I just want to tell this to my audience. There is no challenge that you can't overcome. You can overcome your challenges, but you have to, you know, as I mentioned in the monologue, you've got to get the right education at the right time with the right people. I think right now we're talking to you. This is the right time. This is the right people. And sure.
And it's also, you and I both agree on this. It's your mindset.
It's your mindset.
So just imagine when you find yourself automatically saying, I can't, you are putting a breaker. You are standing in your own way.
Yes.
So catch yourself. Don't say, I can't. Say, how can I? Because when you say, how can I, you trigger your subconscious mind and it goes to work to find a solution. And so you have to shift your mindset from one of scarcity to abundance. You have the ability to create great wealth in your life, but you have to allow yourself to start making decisions that move you forward. Because wealth is all about momentum, and momentum of your money, momentum of your life, momentum of your charity, of your contribution, and that momentum helps you make a greater impact.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of that has to do, I think, too, from how you start your day. Even, I mean, it's like, you know, it's that right attitude, right? Sure, it's like you wake up, you know what? I'm going to be grateful for what I have right now, and I'm going to, you know, use my gifts, my talents, and my abilities to go out and learn something new, just start a new business, do whatever you need to do, but with the right attitude. If you don't have the right attitude, then what happens, Sure?
It's absolutely true. And I think, you know, so many people are stressed out. So many people now are living paycheck to paycheck that they can't get past the negativity and the stress that they're under. And that, you know, I tell people that are in a lot of debt, the first step is stop digging, right? Stop using those, stop charging new things, get a handle. And most people don't know where they are financially, Ken. And that's the first step.
Yeah.
Find out where you are financially. And even if the position is bleak, you're going to feel better because you've taken step. Too many people put their head in the sand when it comes to their financial position, particularly women. And it's such an important thing. We are in the middle of the greatest wealth transfer over the next 20 years. Women have to learn how to receive wealth, how to invest it, how to make it grow, and how to preserve it for future generations.
And that is such an important piece, you know, especially, you know, we got AI coming in the picture right now. And, you know, you have collaboration with IQ Hall, which brings AI into the educational space. How do we bring that into our individual lives right now when it comes to financial literacy and using AI as a tool to really help us, like you just said, get out of debt, create more prosperity? You know, what are your thoughts around that?
AI is a fantastic way to do your research and to see options and come up with new ideas that can help you. The biggest problem with AI is ownership, and you need to check the resources because sometimes AI makes things up. And so when you're looking at it as a resource, you need to make sure you check and ask AI to give you the sources of the information. That helps make sure that it's valid. But it's also important when you are a content creator. This is a whole new area of discussion, so I'll make it brief. But when your information is put out into open AI, you no longer own that. You can't copyright it. And if you generate something with AI, you can't copyright it. You may own it, but you can't copyright it. And so it's very important. My association with IQ Hall is they have created a digital twin. There's a Sharon that will answer your questions, and you can dial in and talk to me. I'll answer your questions, and soon to be both digital and video. And it is a closed learning language model, closed AI system, so that I can control the integrity of my content. I don't lose ownership over my content. I can let that system, the closed LLM, go to the irs.gov site to make sure my information is accurate and up to date. But nobody can take my information away from that. And so I preserve the ownership assets of what I've created. Mm-hmm. It's very important if you're a content creator. AI is a great tool, but don't let it make you lose your rights to your content.
Yeah, that's a big issue right now. And we don't want you losing your content, Sharon, because I know with holographs, you know, very soon we'll have your grandchildren will have a hologram of you in their home, and they'll say, Grandma, tell me about financial literacy. And this holograph of Sharon will sort of start to speak and look just like you, talk like you, feel like you, everything else, but it'll be a holograph, and they're like, wow, thank you, Grandma. That was really good. How'd you learn all that stuff? And then you'll talk again.
It's not very far off. They've already got me doing part of that online already at IQ Hall. So if you go to IQHall.com, you'll see my digital twin.
Well, I'm gonna check that out for sure. Okay, your book. We got this amazing book. I'm gonna put it on the screen, but I do have to take a break in a minute. But first of all, before I take that break, you know, old wealth, new wealth, true health. Ooh, love that title. Where did that title come from?
Well, I came up with it because it was such an important message. My co-author, Nathan, I know you have to take a break, so I don't know. But yeah. Old wealth is the slow accumulation of wealth that we most people learn years ago, and some people still follow. New wealth is doing the fast and quick things, internet, or trying to look for quick returns. True wealth is actually a combination of old wealth and new wealth, but also understanding that true wealth comes from not just accumulating wealth, but who you become along the way. Such an important issue. True wealth is understanding that money is a resource and a tool, and the accumulation of wealth, financial wealth, is very, very good and very important for your family and your future, but also cherishing the relationships you build along the way, cherishing your family, and taking care of your health. That is true wealth. Wealth in all aspects of your life, your family, your finances, your physical being, all of those things come together to create true, true wealth.
True wealth. Okay. Well, I want to, when we get back from the break, I'm going to ask you to dive into the mindset of true wealth. You know, what does that even look like? All right. We'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
Imagine. Every day, clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire, and trauma. Questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them. We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. Couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional, our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. Expand your expertise. Elevate your earning potential. Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You know, before I ask you that question about the mindset of true wealth, talk to me a little bit about your co-author. Who is he? Where did he come from? Why did you guys collaborate on the book?
Oh, absolutely. This is such an important story. Nathan Marcosi is 26 years old. And he was a nationally ranked cyclist at the age of 16, pretty much destined for the Olympics. That was his goal. And he was really clipping along on his way, fast paced to be able to go to the Olympics as a cyclist. And at 16, he was practicing with his coach on a long stretch of road in Mexico, and a car hit him going 60 miles an hour. It threw him 100 yards, and he was dead on impact. And in fact, the paramedics told his parents he was dead. They were able to revive him, and it took him months to be able to recover and walk again. And he could have given up on life because his goals were no longer attainable. but he took his drive, his initiative, his passion, and redirected that. And today at 26, he is an incredible young man, married with two little beautiful boys, and a multimillionaire in real estate. But he also has a huge passion for helping his generation understand the essence of true wealth. And again, that is who you become along the way. And January 23rd, the launch date of the book of 2026, is the 10th anniversary of his accident, his rebirth. And so we're very excited about the impact of the book. And we've had an incredible response for it. Lots of people whose lives have been changed. And it's really, the book is actually a parable of three brothers. One, old wealth, that was kind of slow and steady. New wealth, the guy that drives the flashy cars and is always involved in new things. And then true wealth is Nathan, who has understood the elements of each of the other two and created a life that you don't need a vacation from.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, that's even that last point right there, you don't need a vacation from your life. How many people really live that life? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, people that are wealthy, people that aren't wealthy, do you live that life? Wow. Well, I look forward to meeting Nathan. I know that I'll be seeing him very shortly, so that'll be great. And how did you guys meet, by the way? How'd you meet Nathan?
Well, he actually reached out to me. He didn't expect that he'd get to chat with me, actually. But he was, during his recovery from his accident, he read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And that was really an inspiration to him, to help him really focus in building real estate. And he realized he wanted to do more. He wants to be a speaker. He wants to impact his generation. He said, who can I get to help me? And so he's been a mentoring client of mine for over a year. And through that process, we talked about how can we establish your expertise and give you a platform that will allow you to share your story, but also make it a story anybody can relate to so that they can take that wisdom and apply it to their own lives. And so I'm very proud of him. I'm very proud of the book. It's when we started the book, I had no idea. They decided to make the setting my ranch at one of our mentoring retreats. And so it was perfect. It was fun to be able to share the stories of how we do our mentoring clients. We do mentoring retreats at our ranch several times a year. So this is kind of a storyline set in it, talking about the power of association, who's helping you along the way. How can you expand your reach? How can you expand your impact? How can you accelerate the momentum of your message through the right powers of association?
Nice. Well, you know, there's a part of this too that, I guess I have a question. How do you get a 26-year-old to think outside of maybe setting goals and, you know, vision for their life into thinking about legacy, leaving the legacy that they're going to leave? Because that's
what's exciting about this, because I see the 26-year-olds out there today. Many of them will listen to me, but most of them look at me. You know, I'm old enough to be their grandma. So it's to be able to I'm always looking for those young people that are truly bright lights that can help take that message to the younger generation. Because many of us speakers out there, we're all tipping the scale on the age side. So we need to find those bright lights to come in.
Yeah, we do. You know, of course, you know, leaving legacy goes down to life purpose. You know, it comes back into what is the purpose that you're here? What is your unique gift, talent, and ability for being here? And how are you going to bring that to the world? So sounds like Nathan has mastered this. It's amazing.
Well, and that's really where I am in my stage of career. My legacy is creating other people's legacies. It's my greatest joy to help find people, to help them really fine-tune their messaging and get them from being experts to authorities in their field so that they can truly make a difference in the world.
Ah, I love that. That's what we all need to be. Well, you know, you served as the Arizona chairman for the 2020 Women on Boards initiative. What progress have you seen in the women's representation, and what barriers still need to be addressed?
Well, that's a great question, Ken. And, you know, the Women on Boards is really a small area of a very much larger issue, and that is women taking control of their lives and women becoming good decision makers, not giving up that ability to decide. Obviously, we've had an increase in women on boards. We've had an increase in women CEOs in the Fortune 500. We need to celebrate the progress we've made. Is there more progress that needs to be made? Yes, but let's not complain and criticize. Let's focus on the progress that has been made. And you know, the stats are in. They prove that corporate boards that have women on the board outperform those that do not have women. Because it's when you bring the talents of men and women together, you get the greatest results. Because we have different strengths. So you bring those together and you get the best of both worlds. And that's the messaging. But it's also a message for women, no matter what you do, if you're on a board or if you are an entrepreneur, you have your own business, if you are an employee, if you are a stay-at-home mom, you need to start making better decisions about money. You need to educate yourself. And there's plenty of information out there available for you. But it's so important for us to take control of our financial lives and understand that with every dollar you receive, you have a decision. Are you going to keep it and invest it? Or are you going to say goodbye to it? And that simple decision will change the direction of your financial future. And it's not what you do for your paycheck, Ken, it's what you do with your paycheck that determines your financial future.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious because I see this in women, at least my generation, maybe generations, a couple generations below, and that they there seems to be a block or a resistance to learning about finance. It's like, what is that?
It's a fear. And there's lots of things that contributed to it. We're not taught about money. Many of them were in marriages where the husband handled all the finances and they just never did. They might have had a financial advisor who acted like they didn't exist when they had meetings. They looked at the husband only. That's something that is just absolutely pervasive in the society. You're seeing a lot of increase in women financial advisors that's helping move that needle. And really, is that fear keeps them from educating themselves. And I mean, the stats have proven for years, women investment groups outperform men. But again, that's a group of women coming together. So get a group of women together. You can do a book study on my book, How Money Works for Women. You can do a book study on a financial program so that you work together and learn together. So you have the social aspect. But there's a long way to go. Women have to take control of their financial lives.
Well, you know, it's been my experience that men run on what they'd call like a gut instinct and women run on intuition. And, you know, their gut, you know, most men's gut instinct is maybe 50% accurate, 60%. Women's intuition is like, you know, 90-100% accurate. So there's definitely a, for enlightened men, there's a cause to bring enlightened women to your boards and help with that decision-making process. And, you know, it's interesting because the intuition, a lot of times, there's no reason behind it. Men are always looking for a reason and rationalize everything. But it so often is just the right way to go. And
from a financial perspective, Ken, is a lack of confidence in women, a lack of clarity. Yeah. And that's, you know, the first step is one of the things I talk about in my book is financial literacy, understanding the terminology of money. Because what happens is you hear a term you don't understand and you just stop listening. And so learning the terminology of money and educating yourself starts building that confidence. And when you have that confidence, then you can have more clarity in what decisions you want to make. And look back and see what decisions you made in the past that were not supportive of your financial future and say, okay, I'm going to learn that lesson. I'm not going to continue making those decisions. Because nobody's going to do it for you.
Right. Nobody's going to do it for you. So if you're a woman in my audience right now and you're going, yeah, I get this. What advice do you have for them to really to step into leadership here?
Well, don't hide in the sand. Take the action. You know, this sounds self-serving, but How Money Works for Women is a book I did with the Wealth Wave Organization. It's specifically designed. We talk about women from every decade of life. Mm-hmm. So you will find your story in that book and the different financial decisions women face with, like having a special needs child or starting over after leaving a marriage, an abusive marriage. One is when you're in your 50s or 60s, your 25-year marriage, you're looking forward to retirement, your husband trades you in on a younger model, and you have no clue about your money. You don't know how to do it. So all of a sudden, your standard of living drops dramatically. Or a similar case when you're in your 60s, 70s, 50s, and your husband dies, and you are clueless about money. So we talk about things to do to start taking care of your own credit, to make sure you have the financial wherewithal to take care of yourself. And so it is easy to read. It's like a cartoon, all four color. So it gets past the fear. And that's the biggest thing. Start looking for resources that will help you learn about the vocabulary of money.
Well,
you're not alone. You're not.
One of the things you've done over the years is create these experiential models that are fun, actually, you know, I was thinking, well, what's the next step for my audience? Well, you know, you have decades of creating books and games and experimental tools and, you know, the books you just mentioned about the new book that you're releasing now. There's no reason that nobody that they can't do this. And you know what? Let me ask you one last thing. You know, the experiential learning. Why do you recommend that?
Well, experiential learning is it is a story, and so you're not fearful, you're not resistant to reading it because you're reading a story, and through the storyline, you start seeing the reality of what someone else has been able to achieve, and it starts becoming more realistic for yourself. Or you'll read the story, like in the book, How Money Works for Women, you'll find a story about a woman and you say, oh my God, she's going through exactly what I'm going through. And so you're not alone and you see a pathway of things that you can do. And in that book, we talk about what you can do, what steps you can take, what resources are there for you. And so it helps people get that those first few steps into the storyline, helps them get the information they need to take a change.
Yeah.
Same is the success of Rich Dad Poor Dad. It was a parable of a rich dad or a poor dad. Well, everybody I talk to, they know exactly I had a poor dad or I had a rich dad. So immediately they relate to the storyline. And it's not nearly as fearful about reading it, and it gets them in there. And experiential learning allows you to deal with the emotion along with the education.
Very good. Well, the book is Old Wealth, New Wealth, True Wealth, and Beyond Dollars. And I hope you'll go out and take the first step. First step is education. And Sharon, I can't thank you enough for being here. Final thoughts from Sharon.
Well, it is my pleasure and my honor. Thank you, Ken. You just need to ask. I'm always going to say yes. I'll be there to support you. And my final thoughts is, you know, there are three things we can control: our thoughts, our words, our actions. When it comes to wealth, our thoughts are very, very important. Understanding how can I do something instead of I can't, building that confidence and clarity. Your words follow your thoughts. And so if you have changed your thoughts to positive thoughts, looking forward to positive goals, positive outcomes, then you'll start saying positive things like how can I instead of I can't, and then you'll see positive results. And nobody can do that for you. Those are the choices for you. You are the CEO of your own life. So start monitoring your thoughts. Starts with your thoughts, your mindset, and make those short little shifts in how you're thinking so they're not negative, they're positive, and you're going to see incredible results in your life.
I love that. Thank you for your generosity, for being here today with your time, and every time I learn from you, Sharon, thank you so much.
Thank you, Ken. It's always an honor to be with you.
And I want to thank my audience for being here today. By the way, you know, this is one of those shows that you definitely want to listen to more than once. Listen to a few times till you really get it and get. It's not about the information, as I say, it's about the realization. And when you have realization, you can see the unseeable, you can know the unknowable, and you can do the impossible. Take care till next time.